Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a five-star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, Audio Boom, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a five-star review. If you want to reach a bigger audience, you can email us with any advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Talk to us about advertising. We're interested in all inquiries. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 Score. Cody, the Bulls are back in Chicago, and so am I, and we're back in the same room recording finally.
I was going to say, it's been too long, Sean. I don't like those Skype sessions.
I don't either.
Never been a big internet AIM guy, all that stuff. MSN, I was always kind of behind.
You didn't have AIM back in the day?
I did. I just didn't use it a lot. Like, I'd show up at high school the next morning and people would be like, oh, yeah, we were saying this on AIM last night. I was like, I'm not paying attention to that. So I do like the in-person experience much better. I think it's much better for the listeners. And as you said, you've been in Portland for a while. Successful West Coast road trip for you, Thanksgiving, and for the Bulls.
Yeah.
4-2, as we've mentioned and pointed out. But the Bulls are back in town, host the Lakers on Wednesday night in the first of what is 18 games in 32 nights, I believe, for the Bulls.
Yeah, we're kind of going to roll because tomorrow is November 30th. So we're rolling in. Fred Hoiberg said something at practice the other day based on stuff I saw, because I obviously wasn't at practice because I just got back into Chicago. But he said they have 17 games in December. We're going to roll tomorrow's game on November 30th into that, and just say through the end of the calendar year of 2016, they have 18 games. 12 of them are at home, but there are five back-to-backs, including their only stretch of the season that's 4 games and 5 nights, which hopefully the circus trip we've already talked about, that's something that's probably going to go away next year. Hopefully the 4 games and 5 nights thing is also something that'll go away. There have been some reports about what might happen in the next collective bargaining agreement. Maybe they shorten the preseason, start the season a little bit earlier to cut down on some of those games in such quick succession. But that's what the Bulls have on tap in the next month.
Yeah, they're actually looking at cutting back-to-backs in general in perhaps nearly in half in the next round of CBA negotiations in the agreement. That's something they've talked about, and I think several different outlets have discussed that and reported on that. But they're looking at what? 15, 16 back-to-backs most years, and they could get that under 10 pretty easily if they just move the season up 7 or 10 days or whatnot.
Yeah.
Which would be good for the Bulls.
It'd be good for everyone. It's just good for the game, because, you know, especially when you get to, like, later on in the year when guys want to, you know, people want to preserve themselves for the playoffs, you'll have teams resting guys on back-to-backs, and, like, right now the Sixers aren't playing Joel Embiid on back-to-backs. Yeah. John Wall started not playing on back-to-backs early on in the season. I think he is now playing on back-to-backs. But, like, you talk about, because obviously these guys, these coaches, it's not their jobs to worry about TV ratings and stuff. But, you know, when fans pay money to see certain players, you want to see those players play. Yeah. And having fewer back-to-backs means there's less of a chance that the player that somebody's paying to see, if there's like has some health concerns with them, will not be playing, which I think is just a good thing for the league in general.
Yeah, as it pertains to the Bulls, they haven't formulated a final plan for how to use Dwayne Wade in that 4 games in 5 nights. Fred Hoiberg said it's still up in the air. Obviously, he'll play Wednesday against the Lakers. Then on Friday, they start that 4 games in 5 night stretch. Maybe he'll sit one out. It won't be Friday.
It won't be Friday.
They're playing the Cavs.
We're going to find out which jersey number LeBron wears.
Yeah, of the Cubs. Apparently, Dwayne Wade said that LeBron James had plenty of money to buy it, so that was no problem, as you'd expect. It's apparently picked out, too. Mailed, shipped to LeBron. So he's ready to go. I know the Bulls are ready to go for Friday as well.
I have a prediction.
I have a prediction
for what number LeBron is going to wear.
Okay, let's hear it.
31.
Why do you say 31?
because the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the finals and the Indians blew a 3-1 lead in the World Series. Maybe he can both make it
a, his Indians though.
No, I know, but he can make it a 3-1 joke about the Warriors while also, you know, lightheartedly taking the L about the Indians.
Yeah, anytime you can be self-deprecating about yourself or
which
even
LeBron,
any team
LeBron is
for.
LeBron is usually pretty good about laughing at himself and making fun of himself and having a sense of humor about this kind of stuff, and he was pushing the 3-1 thing hard during his Halloween party with the, you know, the Steph Curry and Klay Thompson gravestones at his Halloween decorations. I think 31 is the move.
That's a good idea, because remember, we love trash talk and we love petty gripes in the NBA. Like, that's what keeps the podcast going. That's what keeps the headlines being rejuvenated. But as it pertains to Wednesday, Sean, how you feeling for the Bulls as they face the Lakers? They'll almost certainly be without Doug McDermott, who has not been cleared for contact drills as of Tuesday evening, so he still needs to continue to work through that concussion protocol. So almost certainly to miss his seventh straight game, still a little shorthanded off the bench. Michael Carter-Williams obviously still recovering as well, as we've touched on in past podcasts. But otherwise, you know, the Bulls pretty much intact there, back at home. You were at the game in L.A. What are you kind of expecting?
Well, the Lakers are going to be shorthanded as well. D'Angelo Russell had the PRP injections in his knees a few days ago, so he's going to be out for a couple weeks, so he's definitely going to miss this game. Nick Young, as we speak, the Lakers are playing the Pelicans. We're recording this on a Tuesday night. They're playing in New Orleans? I think they're in New Orleans. I don't know if they're in L.A. or New Orleans, but they're playing the Pelicans as we speak, and Nick Young, who has been, you know, he's been awful the last couple of years, barely even an NBA player anymore, but he's been a very big part of their surprising start this season, and, you know, renewed effort on the defensive end, finding his role on offense. He exited the game with a strained Achilles, and that's the kind of thing that maybe they're going to want to be cautious about, so they might be without Swaggy and D'Angelo Russell, so they're going to be a little bit shorthanded. They've been starting Bulls legend Jose Calderon with D'Angelo Russell out because they want to keep Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. And this is a Lakers team that, I mean, the Bulls beat them in L.A. a couple weeks ago. They
Not
should be able to
they
beat
wanted
them.
On offense,
They
too,
should be able
LA.
To beat them.
These are games the Bulls have to take care of.
And so far they have, and I have to give
the
them
Lakers,
credit for it.
And I know they have Cavs at home, tough team, but then you go to Dallas on Saturday. Like, this is the stretch where the Bulls prove that they're sustainable for real as, what, a top 3-4 team in the East?
Sure.
Maybe, you know? Because if you have the 18 games we referenced earlier, if you can go 11-7, 12-6, with a lot of them at home and some bad teams, too, that you're facing this month, like, you should be able to make a lot of headway in those standings and prove yourself and just for the playoff picture and as this season goes on. So it's a serious approach the Bulls have to take, and really no one's been taking a more serious approach to basketball right now than Jimmy Butler for the Bulls, who is really bringing it every single night we've touched on. He's basically a top 10 scorer, I think, in the NBA now. Maybe he's a 9 or 11 or whatnot, but 25.8 points per game. And he spoke again today just about Dwayne Wade's significance on him, which I thought was interesting.
We got a question about that too, didn't we?
Yeah, we really did. And specifically that was, well, let me find it here, from Kevin on Twitter, and you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Are you surprised Butler and Wade have worked so well together? And I would say the answer to that is off the floor, no, I'm not surprised that they get along very well. And I was thinking about this a little the other day. I think Jimmy Butler, in addition to respecting Dwayne Wade's championship pedigree, just how great of a basketball player he's been, I think he also really highly respects Dwayne Wade, like the celebrity. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
How he carries himself, handles himself in the public spotlight, because every year, little by little, Jimmy Butler has edged more into the spotlight, hasn't been afraid to speak out and stuff.
Marky
and when
Mark.
I say speak out, yes, yes. I mean in the locker room to his teammates. You know, edge in with all those celebrity friends. He loves to spend time in L.A., San Diego in the summers now. But if you go back, like, Jimmy sees Dwayne in a different light, I think, than he sees any other teammate he's ever had in his career outside of Team USA Basketball. You know what I mean? And I think he's learning some things there, too. And Jimmy hasn't expressed, like, a grand desire to make money in off-the-court ventures to a great degree yet. Obviously, I think he has his own clothing line, some menswear, shoe line, stuff like that.
He's got that Bonobos endorsement. We see in the ads
exactly,
all over
but he sees Dwayne Wade like this, and, like, Dwayne Wade gets Jimmy Butler, like, what stardom is when you're up and coming into it. So I think that's a big deal.
And the other thing that I think is a big deal, and I talked about this a little bit with Anthony when we did a crossover episode with the Locked On Lakers, which was a few episodes ago. You should go back in our feed and check that out if you haven't listened to it yet. It was a good conversation. But something we talked about there is the fact that, you know, Dwayne Wade has come in and bought into, you know, basically playing the support role and playing, you know, basically doing whatever Fred Hoiberg wants him to do and making the time after practice to work on his jump shot. Jimmy Butler seeing Dwayne Wade come in and be willing to buy into the coach and not being like, hey, I'm Dwayne Wade, I'm a Hall of Famer, I don't have to listen to anybody. I think that's had a big impact on Jimmy, you know, especially considering maybe there was some tension between him and Hoiberg last year.
That's an excellent point, because Fred works a lot with Dwayne Wade on his jump shot, and just the conversation they've had regarding like how many threes Dwayne Wade should shoot, and Fred telling him not to be afraid, but Dwayne opening up and being like, hey, how can I make more three-pointers? And Fred has talked about this a lot. Dwayne Wade has a natural lean on his jump shot. Every time Fred says this, he references this is a Hall of Famer, and he's done it his way very well, but I've tried to adjust his footwork a little bit to make him a little bit better of a three-point shooter. And if Jimmy sees someone of Dwayne's stature listening to Fred so much, like, it's so much easier for him. And this is what Jimmy wants to hand down to. So back to the original question, not surprised that as their personalities has meshed and just in general getting along as people. I am a little surprised that it's worked so well on the court. Like, I mean, they're both playing high-level basketball that the Bulls would probably have envisioned. Jimmy, obviously, but Dwayne Wade's getting what they want too, you know, being pretty efficient most nights.
And Jimmy Butler had a great quote after a recent practice, since they've gotten back into town, about his work ethic, which, you want to read it?
Yeah, he's been referencing a lot, been asked about Dwayne Wade on all this stuff. And also, this is said within the context of Luol Deng coming back to for the Lakers on Wednesday night, who is a mentor to Dwayne Wade. So we kind of had Luol as a mentor early in his career, and now Dwayne Wade. And he was just asked about that work ethic and the game of basketball. And Jimmy said, quote, I think of it like this. I don't see what else you have to do all day. I really don't. The job that we have is incredibly lenient, referring to them as basketball players in their profession. Like, you practice for an hour and a half. What do you do with the rest of your day? Why don't you come in here and work on your game? Shoot. Watch some film. All you're going to do is sit at home and play video games on your phone anyway. These guys are buying into that as a team, which is great. When you fall in love with the process, you find out that your confidence comes from the work you put in. End quote. Which is just, it's really a good quote from Jimmy Butler. Like, and as soon as he says it, like, I think that's something Dwayne Wade would say. You know what I mean? Like,
the influence is starting to rub off.
Bigger picture.
Right. No, what it is, I mean, just kind of the tenor of that, the whole, you know, we have to think about, you know, the bigger picture of, like, basketball and how that fits into life. Like, that's something that, like, a grizzled veteran like Dwayne Wade or LeBron James would say. He would even, like, right down to the, oh, these kids today are just playing video games on their phone. Like, he almost seems like...
That's very true. But it's...
What are these Pokemon Go's? Do you think Jimmy Butler plays Pokemon Go?
He does not play Pokemon Go.
He's just a humble kid from Tomball, Texas.
That's not something he would waste his time on. It doesn't have to do with his fish at home, country music, or putting in the work of basketball. So I'm going no on that one. But I know we've talked about Jimmy so much on here, and I'm sure we repeat stuff on some regards with our comments. But he really is, like, every day you can see him growing a little bit in a new way. Not just as a person, but I just mean as a basketball, like, rising up to be more at that next level for the Bulls, the next level of being a star. And you pick up on it when you hear him talk every day. Like, there were more eye rolls in the past when he would talk, you know? Like, he feels like he does get it more every single day now.
Right, and I think the fact that he puts in so much work has been a reason that, you know, with some of the stuff was going on last year with, obviously, him saying Hoiberg needs to coach the team harder, some of the other stuff that maybe rubbed some teammates the wrong way or rubbed some people the wrong way. The thing that people would always say is, you know, Jimmy maybe shouldn't have said this or he shouldn't have handled this in this way, but at the same time, he puts in the work. He doesn't come out and say this stuff and then not back it up himself. And that's something that Jimmy's always had going for him.
Yeah, and that's certainly the foundation you have to start from, because when you do that, then people can look up to you and you can grow, they can grow, and that's what the Bulls have done so far this year. And I mean, credit does go to Gar Pax for that, for seeing that vision. Credit goes too to Fred Hoiberg for kind of turning this around from last year. And we did have a question via Twitter from Leesis, and he had two of them. One of them was, any credit here for Garn Pax? Yes, I think it's so. Working. They deserve credit for not just the 10-6 record, but the vision of a veteran like Dwayne Wade, and even Rajon Rondo, who they've praised greatly, even though he hasn't always played well, hasn't always put in max effort on defense, obviously. We know that. But their presence is working on these youngsters. We can see it in Jimmy Butler. And I think more in time we'll see it more on the other guys who don't play as much and such. But yeah, credit to them in that regard. The other question from Leesis was, why is Fred persisting with the Nico and Bobby experiment being paired together, speaking specifically to start a second quarter and fourth quarter, usually, which seems to not be working according to the eye test and not being working according to the advanced metrics?
It's really troubling that he keeps going with it. And I mean, I don't know how much of a sample size you have to see. I mean, you can play one of them on the court. You can play you can play Nico or you can play Bobby. You have to have one of Taj or Robin on the floor with them. You have to have one big who can defend. And it's just, whenever they don't have either one of them on the floor, whenever they're going with just the two backup bigs, it's just, it just does not go well. Usually the other team will go on a run.
So I want to give some numbers in regards to this. Let's jump on NBA.com. The five-man units. And the two most used five-man units that have Portis and Mirotić in them as the big men. One has played 24 minutes this season and has a defensive rating of 111.9 points per 100 possessions.
That's not good.
Which is bad. The other has played 16 minutes together, so not a huge sample size, but you got to remember, second units are only playing 3 minutes together at a time sometime when you're talking five-man units. So we're five games into that, maybe. Defensive rating of 145.4, which is absurdly atrocious.
I'm assuming that's the lineup. This is the Cannon Wade. Which is this? Cannon Wade.
McDermott, Mirotić, and Portis.
Wait, so this was McDermott. Minutes. So this wasn't the one that gave up the 22-0 run to the Nuggets. So this is earlier in the season. Okay.
And I know there is some noise in those numbers, and if you just do a two-man unit with Mirotić and Portis, you get more minutes together, maybe a little bit in some stuff, and we haven't had enough evidence to draw sweeping conclusions. But the eye test, again, everything backs up that it's troubling. And it should be noted that Isaiah Cannon and Dwayne Wade are included in both of those. So they're a big part of the problem, too. But to me, when I watch, it is a little more Mirotić and Portis, it seems like, because you lose that toughness with Robin Lopez and Taj Gibson, who really just destroy people down low. I mean, they run into them, they don't give up space, they rebound like monsters, they're in the right spots. Now, at the same time, I think another reason we look to Mirotić and Portis is because that's the easier fix. Like, the Bulls like what they're doing with Jimmy Butler's minutes and Dwayne Wade's minutes management, right? Like, they like giving D-Wade that mid-quarter rest, bringing him at the end, because then, you know, he's a little old. He likes riding that pine on a couple times a game instead of just one stint off like Jimmy gets in a half. Dwayne usually gets two. Like, that seems like an easier fix, like you mentioned. Just plug in Taj or Robin Lopez. And I don't know. We need to ask Fred about this, see when he's going to do it. I understand, I think, the reason for holding back could be seen as how great the starting lineup's playing together. And if you pull Taj or Robin earlier, then you're messing with that stretch. But at the same time, like, you can get so much better maybe just with one other defender in there.
Well, yeah, you have that's my thing. You have to have one of those guys in there. Every time they put out the lineups with Portis and Mirotić, they just are going to get burned on the defensive end. They're going to give up a run, and they're going to, if they have a lead, the lead is either going to get smaller or they're going to lose it. So it's something that they have to figure out.
Yeah, and it's happened too enough. I think it happened in Philadelphia a little bit on Friday night, not to the degree it did in Denver. But you're also looking, I believe, Portland might have gone on a little run against that group as well. But again, we were talking about Bulls are doing so many things well, but there is room for improvement there, and they're going to have a lot of chances in December to do that. We did also have a question from TBW Tim. Will the Bulls look to add a big man, Taj-like, in parentheses, to their bench with assets like the Sacramento pick, Bobby Portis, and Jerian Grant? And who are the possible trade targets to watch? think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, here. At this point, I think the team right now is doing well enough that I don't think they're going to look. Obviously, if something comes available, they're going to jump on it. But I think we got another tweet that threw out a few names as suggestions, like Al-Farouq Aminu. I don't think Portland has any interest in trading him. Trevor Booker, like that. Like there are guys that have been thrown out that by people on Twitter at us about possible trade targets. I don't know if that's really where they need to improve. I don't
like their big man.
The big man is like the one area where they have plenty of depth. What they need is more scoring off the bench. Whenever Jimmy is not in the game and Wade is not in the game,
when he's scoring Andy off the bench.
well, yes, but I think more particularly when he's scoring in the game against the Lakers last weekend in LA. When Wade was sitting out, the few minutes in that game when Jimmy sat out, they just had nobody who you could throw the ball to and get a basket. If they're going to make any trades, they need to get more offense. But I just don't really see, first of all, anybody that the Bulls have that has enough trade value to get somebody that's really going to move the needle, and also who out there is going to be available that will move the needle.
It's like Greg Monroe's on the trade block forever, but no one wants him. Nerlens Noel out of Philadelphia, maybe. Okay, sure.
They'd have to probably give up too much to get him, I think.
But yeah, I don't know how that matches up. Like, I mean, I think he's certainly an intriguing guy to keep an eye on.
But he's also, like, he's in that weird zone where, like, he's not good enough that it's worth giving up a lot, but he's still enough of a highly touted prospect that the Sixers aren't going to just give him away for nothing.
Yeah, that's tough because you're talking about what's a proven commodity against who's not a proven commodity yet.
Now, before the season, we were talking about how it's possible if the season goes off the rails, maybe they look to move Taj Gibson and get some younger players or move some of their younger
players. Firmly on the rails.
The season is very much on the rails as of right now. I don't think, unless some offer comes along that they just can't turn down, that some team says, hey, we'll give you, I don't even know, let's Al-Farouq Aminu is a name that, again, Portland, I don't think has any interest in trading him. But let's say Neil Olshey, for some reason, really likes Nico Mirotic or really likes Bobby Portis and Jaren Grant. It's like, hey, we'll give you Al-Farouq. Then obviously they'll do that. But barring something like that happening, which is very much unlikely at this point, I don't know if the Bulls are going to make any trades.
Now, that tweet also mentioned the Sacramento Kings pick.
Which
the
I don't think
own the rights to. Give them the update on that.
I don't think the Bulls are going to get that pick. The Kings,
it's not going to likely convey.
No, the Kings, it's top 10 protected. And right now the Kings are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right now they have the 10th worst record. I mean, they're on the bubble right now. But the Kings are awful. And especially with the speculation that keeps heating up and it keeps popping up, especially the trade deadline, if things haven't turned around. If they trade DeMarcus Cousins, the Bulls are definitely never
going to
get
it. Yeah, let's just say, I don't think the Bulls are operating under the assumption that they're going
to. No, I actually know pretty solidly that the Bulls internally are not expecting that pick to happen.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that it turns into a second rounder. Basically gets conveyed to him, so that's not worth much. And again,
who was the last, and I mean, the Bulls may get a second rounder. Who's the last second round pick that they've had that's been worthwhile? I think it was.
You don't expect them to get a Manu Ginobili type late in the second round.
The last time they got a second round pick that did anything was a Sheik.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Eric Murphy, Cameron Bairstow, Paul Zipser so far hasn't played that much. Speaking of which,
we have a question.
We got a Paul Zipser question. Shout out to the Paul Zipser hive out there.
Aristotelis via Twitter. Find us on Locked On Bulls on Twitter. Any update on Paul Zipser? Paul Zipser's back still hurts.
Yeah.
I think it's strained. I think they're looking at it more closely.
They called it a lower back strain.
There we go. And that's your Paul Zipser update. I don't think we have anything else to report.
No. If he had been healthy, he probably would have been among that group of Bulls players that had been sent down to the Windy City Bulls to play in their recent games. If he had been healthy, I figure that probably would have happened. But I do know the front office likes him, the organization likes him, the coaching staff likes him and likes what he can bring. He's just, right now you just can't play everybody.
Yeah, he's probably not going to play this year hardly at all. Ever,
no.
So.
No.
The only last note we have to be sure to add, Chris Felicio defeated Bobby Portis in the Bulls' annual bowling outing. Did not have that coming. The Brazilian who grew up playing soccer beating Bobby Portis.
Multi-sport superstar.
Beating Bobby Portis, who, according to Snapchat, bowls a good 3 or 4 times a week in the off season.
I wonder if, I mean, I don't think we saw this on Snapchat, whether he did, but I wonder if Bobby had to do any push-ups because he didn't win.
There had to be some contact.
I'm gonna ask Bobby about this tomorrow.
We'll look for that.
We'll get an update.
Chris Felicio, not in the rotation yet, but is the Bulls team bowling champion. We will have a pod for you after Lakers-Bulls on Wednesday night at the United Center. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlund.
Advertise with us.
Yep. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with basketball questions and any advertising inquiries. Always welcome, and most of all, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Absolutely. Find us on iTunes under Locked On Bulls. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. It helps us, helps you guys, helps us give you guys a better product. Feedback is always appreciated. You can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. You can find us, and we will be back with you tomorrow.